Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
James Big Cat Williams.
He can give you a look every once in a while and be like, did you just look at me like that?
Former Bears Pro Bowl tackle.
We're going to take it. They don't want to give it to us. We're going to take it. It's our home field.
Score Bears post-game analyst.
Being a player in a locker room at one point in time, you realize how positive you have to stay no matter how bad things are breaking down around.
Breaking down the Bears.
You were there for Cade McNown experience, right?
Big Cat with Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
And this segment with Big Cat is brought to you by Ford. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. He joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. This Sunday, both pregame and postgame will be at Rivers Casino in Des Plaines, so you can hear Cat with Hub and Olin Krutz after the game. Rivers Casino, get out and live a lot. James Big Cat Williams with us on the Spiegel and Parkin show. We appreciate his time. That formula, James, of defense scoring twice, winning the turnover battle, your quarterback only completing four passes, how sustainable or maybe not sustainable is that?
I don't think it's very sustainable. But every once in a while, you're going to have games like this. And as an offensive player, you have to remember to, hey, go thank the defense for the great job that they put in. You let them know that this is not the norm. This is not going to happen every week. And, you carry us when we need to be carried, and hopefully we'll be able to return the favor later on in the season, and we'll carry you guys.
How'd you feel watching that defense, James? I mean, because that defense came in ranked well in some different categories, but they lived up to it and made the big plays and touchdowns to boot.
Yeah, well, we came into the season thinking that the front seven was going to be good. Your cornerbacks, your safeties, that was your question mark. And now you're seeing a transformation in that secondary with Fuller playing well, with Callahan, with Amos back there playing good, with Jackson doing. All of these guys are stepping up and playing a lot better than we thought they were going to play coming into this season. So that, that's something great. That's something that, you need to acknowledge. But as a whole, that defense is getting it done. You're getting the rush from your front seven. Hicks is playing out of his mind right now. Just, he's playing that big man role. He's that big, unstoppable force, on that line of scrimmage that teams have to deal with. I still haven't figured out why teams aren't running away from him instead of running at him. But, they continue to do it, and, he continues to make plays. You have Unrein, you have Goldman, you have all these guys that are now putting their mark on this defense. If they can continue this, just the ability for them to feel good about themselves gives them an added extra little bit of pump every Sunday. So to watch them play well, to see them continue to get better, it's got to be so much motivation for them. Trevathan is just playing out of his mind right now. And, seeing them sending him on a few more blitzes than they did last year, you really get to see how broad of a spectrum, how broad he plays, both in pass coverage and being able to stop the run.
Talking to James Big Cat Williams on the Score. The defense has been amazing, but obviously the last three games, very limited offenses that they've gone against in the Vikings, Ravens, and Panthers. Now with Aaron Rodgers being out, that helps, but three of the next four in New Orleans, home against the Lions, and in Philly. Do you think this defense is good because of the product of the competition they've been playing, or are they able to, you know, shut down some of the top offenses in the NFL?
Well, I think that you have to take it for what it's worth, okay? Baltimore comes in here, and Flacco looked horrible, but the defense took advantage of that, and they were able to get a win. So, you know, it's not up to the Bears to determine how these teams are going to come in and play, whether they look crappy or not. They have to do their job as a defense and shut these offenses down, and they've done that. Now, this weekend is going to be a true test. You know, you're going down to New Orleans. You're dealing with a Drew Brees offense that has the ability to put up a lot of points. So both defensively and offensively, I think you're going to see a little bit of a shift. All right, the defense is going to have to play out of its mind. But it also has built up a little bit of momentum, a little bit of self-awareness. You know, now not only are they thinking they're good as a defense, they're starting to hear that they're good. They're starting to believe that they're good. And I think that goes a long way. Now, offense is going to have to pick up the pace. Because, like I said, you're going into a hostile environment, and you know defense, you're hoping the defense can play well on the road, but the offense is going to have to put up some points at some point in time, and I think down in New Orleans is going to be the point in time where they have to do it.
The offensive lineman, James Big Cat Williams, can see when a sack is perhaps not the fault of the offensive lineman. You've been helpful pointing that out every once in a while. How many sacks were on Mitchell Trubisky yesterday in terms of him not getting the ball away or playing it too safe, too close to the vest?
I think this is one of the things that, you know, we talked about early in the season when we talked about getting Trubisky in there. As far as how much help does Mitch really have around him, and would that affect, you know, his progression as the season went on? And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that. You know, he wants to be able to get rid of the ball, and sometimes guys aren't open. Now, does that cause him to get into pressure situations when he would normally be looking downfield and trying to complete a pass into a window that's not that big? Or does he, you know, kind of shrivel up? I don't want to throw this ball. I don't want the chance of an interception. I'm just going to take this sack. We don't want him to grow like that. But there are going to be times in his young career when mentally his mind goes there. We just have to hope it's not, you know, on a regular basis. Hope that he can get himself out of, you know, that way of talking, that frame of mind.
When you say
he was real hard on himself after the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you in a sense you like that out of a quarterback. You like that he realizes that he didn't have his best game, or the offense as a whole didn't have their best game, and there are lots of things to work on. You know, you have to be positive. You want to come out of a game with positive thoughts, especially after you won. But you also have to be realistic in realizing that, okay, we play nowhere near the way we are capable of playing, and we've got to pick it up. What do we have to do differently to pick it up?
James Big Cat Williams with us on The Score. When you say you don't want him to, like, settle into that mindset, that is something that Spiegel expressed concern over in terms of just losing the gunslinger mentality. I was saying that with his arm strength, his accuracy, his mobility, once skill position players get around him, I'd be surprised if he wouldn't want to use that. But you see it as a legitimate concern that some of the aggressiveness could get trained out of Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I think you see players, you never know what's going on in a player's mind. And once you've seen a player like Ryan Leaf come through the system, someone that had all the intangibles to be a franchise NFL quarterback and just mentally not be able to get it done, you have to worry about these things. It has to be in the back of your mind that, okay, can a group of coaches do more damage to a player because, you know, he's been forced into a situation? Can they do more damage than good? So, I mean, you have to look at it. You hope it doesn't happen. You hope it doesn't come true.
Hmm. Did you feel that? Did you experience that ever as a player, James? Did you look around and see a guy like, man, that dude got up in his own head and they coached that guy into being a worse player than he was when he walked in the door?
Well, I think as a player, I never really dissected the other players around me like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a locker room, it's more of, okay, this dude's a nut, and he's going to eventually do something that throws him off the rails. And you kind of go by that, you know, instead of looking at the whole piece of work. You just, in an NFL locker room, a quick assumption, you know, that you always hear the expression of first impressions. You know, you kind of take I kind of took first impressions and ran with them. You know, that's, okay, I see what kind of guy this is going to be, and, you know, that's, I just usually left it there.
Who was the biggest nut? When I say the biggest nut that James Big Cat Williams played with, first name that comes to mind?
Curtis Enos.
Why? Like, give us an example.
Just a different guy. You know what I mean? Curtis was one of those guys, he could come into the locker room one day in cowboy boots and the cowboy hat and the tight jeans on, and 3 days later come in the prison orange jumpsuit. And you're like, okay, dude, there's just something going on there. You know, I'm not sure what it is, but there's something going on. Now, he was a hell of a running back. When his mind was right and, you know, he was – the ability that he had to run in between the tackles, he was a beast. But, you know, you just kind of sat back and was like, okay, is, you know, can all this fall apart somewhere, somehow, some, you know, some way with the type of person this is? And, you know, you kind of see as their careers go on.
Yeah, he, number 44, Curtis Enos, didn't he come in one day in practice with like a third four? He wore like 444 one day in practice for some reason, like taped it on.
Yeah, taped it onto his jersey.
What was I don't even remember what that was about. I don't remember the point he was trying to make.
I haven't the slightest idea.
Right, you weren't trying to get inside the mind of a Curtis Enos?
I remember him doing that, but I had no idea what it was about.
I got my own issues in my own mind I have to deal with. So, you know, jumping into somebody else's just wasn't a good thing for me.
Sure.
Understood. James, fourth down, a foot or so for the touchdown, a minute 15 left in the second quarter, up 11 points. Did you think John Fox was going to go for it? He went for the 19-yard field goal instead.
Yeah, I think you got to take the points.
You do.
I think when your offense is playing that poorly, but your defense is playing as, you know, that very good bend but don't break defense, I think you have to take the points. You have to put points on the board, hope that your defense comes out and gets another stop, and then, you know, being able to run that clock. You saw the Bears almost go into a four-minute drill, you know, at the end of the third quarter where they're just trying to run the clock, eat up as much clock as they could because, you know, Carolina was putting some good drives together. The Bears were just stopping them from finishing them off.
Kat, how should we as fans and media, like, reconcile the different masters that are trying to be served here? Like, the Bears can win now because their defense is really good, but what matters most for winning big picture is developing Mitch Trubisky. But the coach might be fired no matter how many games they win, but we like some of the assistants on his staff, like Vic Fangio. How do we reconcile? It seems like every part, every facet of the Bears is kind of at a different place on their timeline right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the problem with it is none of us have the answer to how long Pace and Fox, or how long that leash is. You know, we don't know if they show progress. Is Fox's leash that short? You know, if you know, you start to see the defense come around. If by the end of the season, that offense is starting to do things that they can do well, getting outside the pocket, Mitchell being able to throw the ball downfield, that running game, staying on track, you know, Cohen being a viable part of that offense. If all these things are starting to come together towards the end of the season. You know, like I said, we don't know how short Fox's leash is. But if you get rid of Fox and all this stuff is starting to come together, now have you put yourself behind the eight ball bringing a new head coach in, a new offensive coordinator? Usually that head coach is going to want to bring his own defensive coordinator. Now you're starting all over with a group of guys that look like they were just starting to get it, just starting to come together and mold into a team that, you know, could possibly do something. So, you know, there are a lot of, you know, what ifs, and, you know, I have the answer for none of them.
All right, go watch the show as he tries to come up with the answers at the Rivers Casino in Des Plaines. Thank you, Kat.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Yeah, he's got the post-game show out in Des Plaines this week. That segment brought to you by UPSJobs.com. Want up to $125 in weekly bonuses and $25,000 in tuition assistance. Be a part-time UPS package handler in Hodgkins, Gary, or East Chicago. Apply at UPSJobs.com.
I've had that weird image and memory of Curtis Enos with the 444 taped onto his jersey for years. And I remember trying to Google it and like not finding anything. So I'm glad the Big Cat remembers, but also has no idea why it happened.
A developing story in the NBA. Eric Bledsoe yesterday tweeting, you know, I don't want to be here. The talented guard for the Phoenix Suns, who are probably the only team in the NBA who looking worse than the Bulls potentially, then has a meeting with the coaching staff today, practice. Sent home from the meeting saying that he's scratched from the game tonight, and then Eric Bledsoe just tweeted, good morning.
All right, some weird stuff.
So Eric Bledsoe could be on the move, trying to get himself out of Phoenix. That's certainly the conjecture coming there.
Saw Earl Watson, according to David Aldridge, Earl Watson went into the locker room and tried to fight Eric Bledsoe for the tweet that got him fired, essentially, was the way Aldridge said it. That tweet got ownership to say, oh, wait a minute, we really need to look at this, and Earl Watson got fired because of it.
Right, the Bulls having a pre-season, you know, before the 82-game season fight, trying to be the most dysfunctional team in the NFL, the Suns like, hold my beer, we're going to fire our coach 3 games into the NBA season. So the Knicks, the Suns, the Bulls, lots of competition for a most incompetent NBA start so far this year.
The other bit of NBA news, by the way, is that Dwayne Wade just asked to come off the bench in Cleveland. Just went to Tyronn Lue and said, you know, we'd be better off with me coming off the bench, which was true from the get-go. J.R. Smith is going to start.
Yeah, or he's just not good enough to start.
Maybe he knows it.
Also in play. Off that play you were talking about, some legitimately good John Fox audio.
The fourth down.
And I know, I'm as shocked as you are, because we never get good John Fox audio. We'll play it for you next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You got the ball at the 1 yard line, you do something on first down, didn't work. You do something on second down, didn't work. You do something on third down, didn't work. What on earth makes you think something good's going to happen on fourth down? All right, I'll just make it simple for you. All right. We got the ball to start the third quarter. We knew that going in, and made it a 3-score game, getting 3 points versus zero.
Because of who the Bears are, it's less objectionable to kick that field goal. But kind of like punts from the other team's field, or certainly inside the 40-yard line, I'm never going to sign off on 19-yard field goals. That's not a proper application of game theory, where he said, well, it didn't work on first down or second down or third down. Why would it work on fourth down? Because your average yards per play is more than 1 yard, so you could argue that those three results are outliers, and the next time the odds are in your favor that you'll finally be able to punch the ball in from one damn yard out.
Well, and then there's the whole, why not show just a modicum of confidence in your team to get a foot on fourth down? There's the whole, what are we actually trying to accomplish here? But he's trying to win games.
He's trying to win games, and the difference between 2 scores and 3 scores is significant.
But it didn't make it 3 scores.
Oh, that's true. There is that.
Right?
In his own mind.
In his own mind.
It made it two touchdowns instead of a two-point conversion in the field goal. Yeah, so 11-14.
It didn't make it 3 scores at all, John Fox.
Yeah, there is that.
It's like, so, I mean. So,
I trusted his math.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't.
I mean, he is notorious.
It was going to be 14-3, and then he made it 17-3.
And now it's 17-3.
Right. Made it needing two touchdowns.
Okay.
Right, need two touchdowns but instead not, of a touchdown in field.
Not 3 scores. I mean, there's also a hilarious moment there where the announcers say, you know, maybe the Bears will use their timeouts and try to get the ball back. And I'm like,
No.
I don't believe that's the game plan that's being applied here. It's just he coaches as cautiously and as fearfully and as safely as anyone has ever coached in this game. And you can look at it as a positive over the long haul. But in a specific game, it's just like, oh my God, the terror in this dude's heart that they cannot get a simple little thing done. But, you know, take the points, got the points. All right. It's early, I suppose. It's not that big a deal. It just, it fits the John Fox profile to a freaking T to do that.
I would love them to be more aggressive with Mitch Trubisky, obviously, but he is not going to do that. That is also at this point very obvious.
Scoreboard.
This segment of Spiegel and Parkins brought to you by Target. Trick out your Halloween at Target with costumes, candy, decor, and more with scary good prices every week. Target, run and done. Got a pretty cool surprise guest coming on in 15 minutes.
The man of the moment.
The man of the moment. Eddie Jackson scheduled to call into the show at about 1240, 1245 or so. How about that?
Pretty cool. All those NFL veteran defensive coaches at the University of Alabama that Eddie played for. I wonder if that kind of thing has made it an easier transition for him. We'll talk to him. He is the man of the moment for sure yesterday.
The plays were, you know, the nose for the end zone is something that he had as a punt returner at Bama and has been lacking in this city for a long, long time. A city that loves defense. Like, I want the Bears to be great offensively. It's a really fun brand of football. They traded up. They drafted the quarterback. It's easier to have sustained success in this NFL if you have the great quarterback and the great offense than the great defense. But Eddie Jackson could be a star in this city if he finds his way to the ball and forces turnovers and, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we like defense.
Hell yeah, we do. Like, for me personally, I love offense, but he could be a star if, you know, you're not going to be able to do that but every week. But, you know, that's the type of game that puts you on the map here.
Yeah, he's looked comfortable from the get-go, just right away, and now the plays are going along with it. Did you see Deontay Thompson had 4 catches for 107 yards yesterday in Buffalo?
I did.
Deontay freaking Thompson. There was a battle for him between the Patriots and the Bills. The Pats said, all right, he tried out for the Pats. The Pats were like, all right, go home. We'll call you. And then the Bills called and said, don't go there. Come right to us in Buffalo. And he goes there, 4 catches, including a big one, what, a 44-yarder late in that game.
Yeah, he had the long one.
And he is old friends with Tyrod Taylor. They go back to high school days, he and Tyrod Taylor do. So maybe that was part of the wooing.
I'm sure it was.
And part of their connection. And he is the first 100-yard wide receiver for the Bills since Sammy Watkins last year on Christmas Eve. Deontay Thompson! Maybe he should still be here, but Bellamy's got to stay.
Trey McBride and Tanner Gentry are in there, man. It's...
How does Deontay
Thompson... Here's the thing. When you go to... I mean, he's got, obviously, rapport with Taylor, like you said. It's one of those things where the Bears do not have skill position talent at the wide receiver group. Deontay Thompson would not have had a 100-yard receiving game here in Chicago. I have no reason to believe that. But, yeah, that sucks. Like, that's just one of those things where it's like, I can't sugarcoat that one for you. Like, when you have a quarterback who had 3 different guys who we could target the entire game...
Yeah.
4 for 7 passing, took 4 sacks, targeted Tariq Cohen, Zach Miller, and Tanner Gentry. Only 1 target and 1 catch to a wide receiver for the 2nd consecutive week, and it was an 8-yard catch. Like, yeah, it's not going to be fun to see Deontay Thompson have a 100-yard game. That's
all
not
right.
Good.
So when we do over-unders next week, we do like, you know, moment of the game where the wide receiver is targeted for the first time. Like 10 minutes left in the 3rd quarter.
Sure. When does the first wide receiver target happen? Yeah. Because we gotta move all the numbers down, but then they're playing the Saints, so we're probably going to overcorrect, and it's going to go back up. Because as Campy is pointing out, Saints defense better than it looked the first couple of games this season.
Yeah.
But still worse than what he's seen so far, right? We're in agreement on that, Campy, that compared to Vikings, Panthers, and Ravens, this is an easier game for Trubisky, but not as easy as we thought it was going to be.
Mm. Yeah, I think they're maybe closer to the Ravens because the Ravens were just so beat up in that game.
Then
you'd think, but yeah, I mean, they're definitely a middle of the pack defense, probably at worst right now.
I'll pull up some stats on New Orleans, but I'm excited because I assume
a lot of big plays for New Orleans. I know that much on defense.
Right, they had that weird game against the Lions.
Right,
where they had two defensive
touchdowns and like five sacks.
Right, there were like 80 something points scored, but there were five defensive touchdowns in the game.
Do you know that as of right now, the Jacksonville Jaguars lead the NFL in sacks, in interceptions, and
takeaways. Yes.
They lead the NFL in all three, and nobody has ever led the NFL in all three categories.
I saw that. That is, they're really damn good. Their second game of the season where they had 10 sacks. This is how good the Bears defense was. I wrote this down from just like a fantasy perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears were the number one overall fantasy defense in a week in which the Jaguars had 10 sacks and the Chargers pitched a shutout, had three turnovers, and a defensive score.
Wow.
And the Bears' defense was still better than those defenses fantasy-wise. So that's how good of a game the Bears had.
Because they had two defensive scores and the two interceptions.
Correct, and the sacks, and held them to only 3 points.
The Jaguars have 10 or more sacks in two different games. First team to do that in a season since the 1984 Bears, my friend.
Ooh.
So the Jags are going back there. But the flip side of that, of course, is the Colts gave up 10 sacks. And then T.Y. Hilton called out his offensive line. When you're a wide receiver, calling out the offensive line should probably be a little careful.
Not great.
Yeah, he has since apologized today.
The Saints rankings, if you want just the simple numbers here, in terms of where are they in rushing? Why can't I read them? No. Here we go. 20th in rushing yards per game allowed, 21st in passing yards per game allowed, 16th. In scoring. So even though they've gotten a little bit better recently, their on the season numbers are still average to slightly below average. So I would expect and hope that this upcoming week they'll let him throw and the Saints offense will do some work against the Bears defense at home. They're a very tough team in the Superdome, that sort of thing, Drew Brees, and it'll force the Bears to go forward because they've had a cop out here. Right, with defensive scores, special team scores, playing
the way
with
the games
lead,
have gone. I mean, and
winning games, they've had a cop out to not really have to do anything with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, and I was surprised that Carolina got held to as little as they did yesterday. Had some drives going too, did Carolina, and then they'd get stopped at a key moment, or the Bears would make their massive play with Eddie Jackson for the most part.
We'll step aside here for whenever he calls, and when we come back, Bears safety. First player in NFL history to have two defensive scores of 75 yards or more in a game. Eddie Jackson from the Bears, next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back to throw the slant, busted up in the air by Amukamara, and intercepted by the Bears, running down the sideline to the right side. Eddie Jackson's got the 40 of the Panthers, and he's going to go again. It is a touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! And a second pick six in just about 18 minutes of action here at Soldier Field. The rookie from Alabama lighting it up on the tip pass.
I think it's a record. I'm not sure there's been that many returns on defense for that length of yardage. But he's a tremendous young guy as well as a young player. And you know, I think we saw it early on. We've got some good young players on both sides of the ball. And you know, I think Eddie showed those things to the coaching staff and to his teammates early. And you know, I think now you all get to see it.
Those highlights courtesy of WBBM and John Fox. The audio brought to you by Taco Bell. Taco Bell's $5 cravings deal. Get a cheesy gordita crunch, a burrito supreme, nachos, a crunchy taco, and a Baja Blast, all for just $5. We're waiting on Eddie Jackson to call the show.
Check out our live video stream at 670thescore.com. Brought to you by Marvel Universe Live at Allstate Arena November 2nd through the 5th. MarvelUniverseLive.com. In looking at the snap counts on defense, Adrian Amos, Prince Amukamara, Eddie Jackson on the field for every single snap on defense. Danny Trevathan is next at 97%. One interesting thing to see here among the defensive ends, Jonathan Bullard passed Mitch Unrein. I think that's the first time this year I've seen that. Now, Mitch Unrein's been pretty good, like kind of solid, sort of understatedly good. But Vic Fangio has been putting Bullard in repeatedly, including on 4th and 2, on the big 4th and 2 play where Cam Newton had the slow developing QB sneak. Bullard was in there, so a little more confidence in him, which is good to see because he was a disappointment as a rookie last year.
Well, yeah, you need depth, right? it on the defensive line, and they should have it. I mean, they brought in Jay Howard, who was really good a couple of years ago, and then he couldn't make the team, and he's had injury problems. And it's the, you know, when you say understated in terms of impact, man, Akeem Hicks is the outlier. It's normally those guys in the 3-4 defensive line.
You don't notice those guys.
They're not making a ton of impact plays, which is why Akeem Hicks is so good. Like, I saw people going a little bit over the top. I don't remember which of the Bears people was on Twitter who was like, he should be in the running for defensive player of the year conversation. Like, that's probably a little strong, but he looks like a Pro Bowler. He looks like the anchor and best player on a top 10 defense. Like, Akeem Hicks is having a hell of a season.
Yeah, and he's a somewhat known guy who then re-signed, so those kind of things help you with the Pro Bowl notoriety a little bit. Right next to him, Eddie Goldman, he had 4 run stuffs yesterday, and now he has 22 tackles. 14 of the tackles have been for either 2, 1, 0, or negative yards. 14 of his 22 tackles. That from Kevin Fishbane over at The Athletic. So when Goldman's making plays, he's making plays for either little, no, or negative gain. If you feel like you're seeing him bust through the line and eat people, that's because he is.
Well, that's the other part that's exciting about what the Bears are doing. And I remember a couple of weeks ago saying, like, if Mitch Trubisky's good, they're not that far away from being playoff relevant.
I saw "not that far away" in somebody's piece this morning. I forget which one, but it feels like it. It starts to feel like it.
Right? Because if the defense is good and the running game is good, and then you get the quarterback who can actually elevate people around you, you're not a Super Bowl contender. They're not a year or two away from that, but they're close. They're if Mitch is good. It's such a huge caveat. If Mitch is good. And then they have to do the right thing with the coaching staff this offseason, and they need to bring in good skill position players.
They need to keep the defensive breakout guys. Like, perhaps you need to keep both Amukamara and Fuller, that kind of thing. I mean, you'll see.
Right, both up for contracts.
Both up for contracts. And then they got to bring in 2 wide receivers, 1 free agent, 1 drafted, maybe 3 wide receivers, what have you, because they have nobody there.
Right. They've got a young core defensively also. That's the thing where you feel good about it, where it's, okay, Leonard Floyd, new guy. Eddie Jackson, who we'll talk to hopefully here in a minute or two, new young player. Obviously, Akeem Hicks, only 27 years old. Goldman, 23 years old. Like, they've got guys who are in their early to mid-20s that you feel like, all right, this actually isn't just a patchwork defense, which is how it kind of felt at the start of the year with 4 new starters in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of feel like, okay, Kyle Fuller's got some youth to him, obviously. But I will be surprised if Kyle Fuller's back. But who knows? Then Prince Amukamara still could sign a long-term deal finally. Eddie Jackson,
they could franchise Kyle Fuller if they want.
They could.
That's big money for a corner, I know. But let's say...
I don't like that idea.
But let's say you find yourself... so let's say Mitch has improved to the point where you're like, you know what? Right now, this is a moment. This is a moment for us right now. And you can obviously hold off on that decision. You don't have to decide that yet. Maybe you get the sense that you're going to get one of those free agent wide receivers of consequence, or somebody has stepped up by the end of the year. You're like, you know what? Trey McBride is an NFL wide receiver.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Kill me.
I don't. When you have the ability to have a guy contractually, like, that you drafted, and then you choose not to have him for the 5th year, I don't think you then turn around and make him the average of top 5 highest paid at the position. You know what I mean? Like, they could have had him on a 1-year deal on the 5th year option. Then he plays 16 games, Kyle Fuller, and now you're going to give him, like, what would that be, $14 million a season
something like
or something
for the
insane?
For the one season.
For the 1 year, I highly doubt that is going to be the Bears' plan for Kyle Fuller this offseason. And by the way, he hasn't proven that yet. Like, you need a bigger body of work to get the franchise tag in the NFL.
7 games in, looking pretty damn good. Looking like a guy who has improved dramatically. I don't know how much of that is Ed Donatell. I know that Ed Donatell has been... very successful everywhere he's been, often as a Vic Fangio assistant and as the secondary coach. You look around that secondary, Adrian Amos seemingly useful. Prince Amukamara said he was utilizing something that Ed Donatell had told him yesterday when he tipped the ball on the slant. Kyle Fuller's improvement and the comfort level of Eddie Jackson, the Alabama safety. Ed Donatell is part of what has turned the secondary into a big-time strength all of a sudden.
We'll talk about that and more with the player of the game and arguably the player of the week in the NFL. Eddie Jackson, Bears safety, joins us on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at grossinger.com. Eddie, thanks so much for the time, man, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Was that the best game of your life?
Yes, sir. Most definitely. That's definitely one of them. Yes, sir.
Well, you had some pretty great games at Alabama. MVP in the national title game.
Yes, sir, man. It's nothing compared to this, though, man. This is a real blessing right here.
How did your Alabama time with that very well-paid and professional coaching staff and good defensive coaches, how did that get you ready? Do you think that helped you be more comfortable from the get-go here in the NFL?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, we run a pro-style defense at Alabama. And like you said, we got great coaches there. You know, they put you in a system that's it's very complicated to learn, but when you get it down, you're able to make plays. So I can say that really helped me a lot.
You don't have to call us, sir.
No, we're
a couple of schmucks on the radio.
Yeah, we don't deserve it.
So take me in the locker room after that game yesterday. Like how many texts when you check your phone?
Oh, man, it was crazy, man. It was going nuts, man. It was crazy, man. I couldn't even. I still haven't checked all the messages and Instagram and everything. But you know, it's a blessing. You know, if people blowing you up and calling you, tell you congratulations. You know, it should always feel good about that.
Were you aware of the history that you set?
No, sir. Not at all. Not at all until after the game. You know, we were just out there trying to play our game and win the game.
Did you feel like those plays were, you know, particularly exceptional, or you were just kind of in the right place at the right time when the team was doing good things?
Yeah, that was just right place at the right time. You know, Amos was there on the fumble, then and McPhee, then Danny came in, and then on the interception, Prince, he played great defense and was able to, you know, hit the ball out and make it pop into the air. So I was just there for the back end.
But what is special and is obvious is your running skills, and like the punt returner in you kicked in that sweet move on Cam Newton. So like there must be some level of comfort that happens for you when you've got the ball. You're like, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing. There's confidence there, right?
Yeah, yes, sir. Like I said, when we get the ball in the secondary, we think of touchdowns. You know, we go into a wide receiver mind state, and we just want to score and get him in the end zone and help defense get some points on the board.
We're talking to Eddie Jackson, who had two touchdowns yesterday, first player in NFL history with two defensive touchdowns of over 75 yards. So how much of that, like when you get the ball on defense, you're thinking touchdown, how much of that is practice, like in live ball drill, and how much of that is your natural instincts as a runner?
It's a lot in practice, you know, especially from translating over from college to now to the NFL. But just everything else, you know, play punt return, so that kind of helps me out a lot with vision and things and making people miss. So,
what do you love about being a safety, Eddie? Because you were a cornerback first at Alabama, and then they made you a safety, and it's like a light bulb went on. Like you just kind of fit there. What do you love about the position?
Oh man, you got more space to roam. You know, you can make more plays, break on more balls, and that's one of the things I love a lot about safety, that you're able to make more plays and break on more balls, especially tips and overthrows and things like that. And when you get it, it's no one in front of you really. So I can say I like that. That's what I like most about safety.
How good can this defense be?
Oh man, this defense can be, man, this can be a great defense. Even though I'm a rookie in NFL, like I'm telling these guys, I've been around some good defenses at Alabama, man. And this right here is like a pro level, the same. We got a front seven that can rush, guys in the secondary that can cover very well and come up and make tackles, man. And we just have a bright future. We just got to keep working, keep getting better. You know, we're a young defense with a lot of new faces, so everyone's just getting comfortable with each other, and we still got to keep working.
You know, I was very excited when the Bears drafted you, Eddie, because remembered you playing when you were healthy. But I mean, you tore the ACL, what, 3.5 years ago, something like that? And then yesterday is 1 year to the day of when you broke your leg. That's crazy, isn't it? What has the year been like to get back to where you are now?
Oh, man, it was tough. It was very tough in the beginning, man. But one thing I like about when I got here, you know, Coach Fox told me, he was like, we're not trying to rush you back. We just want to get you healthy. You know, he uses this analogy like you driving a NASCAR. You want to go as fast as possible without crashing into the wall. So, you know, we just took our time stepping into everything slowly, you know, and working back into the defensive drills and getting reps on the defense. So I can say it was pretty tough. But, you know, the environment around here kept me up and kept me going.
Who's helped you the most since getting to the Bears?
I can say it's been a couple people, you know, especially the secondary room and the older guys. I can say the whole defense of the older guys really helped me a lot. And Coach Ed, you know, he has he's a funny personality. You know, he keeps us up in the secondary room. He keeps us going. So just going out there every day, you see those guys, they land everything on the line for you. So you want to do the same in return. but I can say most definitely those guys.
Coach Ed Donatell, we don't get to know him very much, but we hear great things. So you're saying the personality, what else? Does he teach you technique, too?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He stays on top of the technique. You know, he coached a bunch of great safeties and secondary players in his career, so you just take everything he tells you, you put that in the back of your mind, and you go out there and try to work your best to get it down perfect, and that really helps you with your game.
Was one of those texts from Saban?
Yeah, what text? He threw out my phone. Nah, Coach Saban don't send texts, man. He'll call.
He probably doesn't know how to text, does he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows how to text, but he'd rather call you, you know.
Well, is he just worried about this year's bunch, or does he keep in touch with the former players?
Oh, he keeps in touch with all the former players. He definitely keeps in touch with all the former players.
Are we getting Clemson Bama 3?
I don't know. I know Bama, though. I can't speak for everyone else, but I'm rolling with my boys on the Roll Tide side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Bama will be back.
Yeah. Well, roll tide up here now, Eddie. It's nice to have you here. It's a hell of a game. Congratulations on it.
All right. Thank you, man. Roll Tide.
All right. Thank you. Don't be a stranger to the show, man. That's Eddie Jackson on the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Roll Tide. Had to get it in there.
Yeah.
He's the MVP of that title game, and I didn't hedge Clemson. Well, defensive player gets MVP of the game, they give up 40 points.
Right,
I mean, come on.
Right.
Unbelievable.
It's interesting. Ed Donatell, funny guy, he said. Personality. I had no idea.
We will transition to Bernstein and Goff next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.